Part of where you live is determined by how much you can pay. Apartment rents are up in Seattle, nearly 40% over the past 16 years for a one-bedroom apartment. That's according to a recent KUOW analysis of the housing data. Some say rent control is the answer, including Seattle City Council member Shama Sawant.
You know, everywhere I go, and I'm sure I'm not the only person, I hear people talking about the skyrocketing rent. And when I ask them, what do you think we should do about it, invariably I hear from them, we need some sort of rent control.
Not everyone agrees that rent control will deal with the problem. Some argue that it will discourage developers from building new units, and that in turn could hurt renters. University of Washington philosophy professor Michael Blake has another perspective. He told David Hyde the debate is not just about economics.
I think it's an issue for a philosopher because a lot of philosophers talk about justice. And depending on how you think of the notion of justice, you're going to come down on one side or the other about whether rent control is a good idea. There are really good arguments in favor of it and really good arguments against it, and both of them begin with the idea that some things are just and some things aren't.
All right, let's say I'm a developer, I'm listening to this right now, and I say to myself, I need to hire a philosopher to help make the case against rent control. What's the case that you'd make?
I think that's a good question. One person you could imagine is someone who can't find housing. And they can't find it not because it's too expensive, but because it doesn't exist. And it's the result of a simple economic fact. When you make something less lucrative, people are going to put less money into it if their primary interests are financial. So you can imagine someone coming to a rent-controlled city, and they look around and there's all these great apartments, but they're all occupied by people who are making a really wonderful life for themselves. They have the ability to keep their spending on housing down, but they're all there. They're dug in like ticks, and they're not going to leave, and there's nothing available for a newcomer. Now, it's reasonable, I think, to think that that newcomer is going to be slightly irked. They're going to find it difficult to justify to themselves why they don't have the ability to actually find a place to live while these other people do.
All right, let's flip the question and think of yourself as a philosopher who now has been hired to work for a rent control activist. So this is the case in favor of rent control, also thinking about that same person, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think now what we have to do is flip around and look at the person who is in a particular place. Imagine they've been here for many years. Perhaps even their parents or grandparents lived in the same community. They've built up networks of affection, of ties to place. They understand themselves as someone who has made a life for themselves in this community. And now, because of economic shocks that are happening at the global and national level, a developer can make more money by simply raising the rent, in some cases doubling or tripling it in short order. And if you can't pay, well, that's a shame for you. I can find someone who can. Now, we have to balance here the interests of the developer in making money with the interests of the person in continuing a form of life, which is, for them, ultimately one of the most valuable things they have. It's a fine line, in a way, between who we are and the places and relationships we inhabit. And the developer says, I'm going to take all that away from you because it's value for me. I'm going to make money off of the deal. Well, it's easy for a philosopher, I think, to make the case that this is putting something less valuable ahead of something more valuable.
What's the value that we see as a community potentially in preserving that person's way of life?
Well, I think there are any number of different values. Some of them are that we like having diversity in our city and in our communities. And there are places that are made vulnerable through the market when people come in and simply undercut the people who've been there for a long time. Think of the International District or the various communities that have sprung up. We all think that we are in a way enriched by them. It would be a sad day if we went to the International District and found a Walmart sitting there. And that's true even if Walmart would in fact be an economic powerhouse for that particular chunk of geography. So it's valuable for all of us, but it's even more valuable for the inhabitants who are able to build a life of value for themselves with the resources that are ultimately found within a particular geography.
All right, let's say I hear this. I'm still not persuaded. I'm worried that the risks of rent control outweigh these values of stability. What alternatives do you think there are to rent control?
Well, that's a really good question. And at this area, I think you probably will do best to ask someone who's not a philosopher. But there are proposals out there that philosophers could talk about. And some of them include ideas like tying the right to develop with some form of investment in low-income housing, with affordable housing. Others are a recent proposal to rethink some of our ways of conceiving of zoning regulations, including the idea that some places should be for single-family dwellings. And we've recently seen proposals of both of these sorts. Good to see that we're actually trying to develop new ways of ensuring that the rights of low-income people to a place are going to be respected, whether or not we think rent control is that way.
Right. I want to pick up on this question, actually, of single-family zoning. It's big news this week. The mayor's Housing Affordability Committee is expected to release a recommendation about it on Monday. Could mean a change for low-density housing here in Seattle, more density getting added to those places. So as a philosopher, what are the ethical questions that policymakers ought to consider when it comes to either preserving or changing single-family zoning?
Well, I think it's going to come down to the interests of people in having a place in which to live versus the interests of other people in having a particular form of life perpetuated. So a lot of people really want to live in a certain kind of place. And it sounds too easy to stereotype, but let's just say it's the 5,000 square foot lawn, beautifully green despite recent weather, where you are surrounded by like-minded people. And it turns out that having that vision may be in tension with the rights of other people to form different kinds of relationship or community and to have a place in which to do it. So one of these is going to have to give way, and it's the task of policymakers to find a reasonable compromise.
University of Washington philosophy professor Michael Blake speaking with David Hyde about the ethics of rent control and some alternatives to rent control. Michael Blake often providing us with a philosophical perspective on public issues.